listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you are interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out. I'll say this for the final season of Sabrina. It got an ending. Most canceled Netflix shows, regardless of their popularity, of which there are many, do not get that ending. Eight final episodes all headed towards an inexorable wrap-up that decidedly ends the series. All things considered, I mean, it's not like she became a lumberjack, so by that measure, I guess it's fine. We're talking about The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina on Netflix, season four, and the final season, much to the surprise of the creators, apparently, as well, who Netflix was like, you've got a great hit, congratulations, oh, you're canceled, welcome to Netflix. I keep waiting for Stranger Things them just to go, can you wrap this up in a Christmas special? It's your most popular show. Yeah, but you know. Anyway, joining me here on this review is Robert.
Hello, everybody.
Jenna.
I'm so sad, Chris. Hi. I'm so sad.
Don't be sad. Don't be sad. And Matt.
I too am sad, but that's just normal.
This is a full spoiler review. This is for people who've already watched this, not people who are thinking about it. If you've gotten through three seasons of Sabrina and you're like on the fence whether or not you're going to watch the final eight episodes, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Right. So we're just going to go in. This is for discussion of the things that actually happen, or for those who've heard things and want to hear some detailing. So once again, things start with a threat of another apocalypse, as is the norm for spooky monsters of the week show with a running thread, and for Sabrina specifically. This time it's eight Eldritch Terrors, eight episodes, roughly one a week. And in case you haven't gotten enough Lovecraft referencing lately, here's more with some Squiddy Terrors, specifically called The Weird, that even name-check the writer in case you missed the reference. And while the terrors are the best part of the season, the characters themselves are the worst. Two Sabrinas, the one that rules hell and one that, I guess you could say, rules Greendale. Romantic dramas that begin and then tie up immediately, and little else left for the side characters to do. Way too many musical numbers that suck. Some useless side plot about Sabrina running for student president that you forget is happening even as it's happening. And then Father Blackwood, played by the wonderful Richard Coyle, who's usually the most fun mustache twirler on the entire show, who's only here because, well, ultimately being in the season a lot, there's no real reason for him to be there at all. They just kind of wrote in a way that he's the guy who's saying, we're summoning the Eldritch Terrors. Michelle Gomez, who was previously the high point of the whole show, in my opinion, has been reduced to lurking around in the background of the scenes with no arc whatsoever. And there's two of her as well. One in Hell that's Flavor Flav to Lucifer, and one in Greendale who's Flavor Flav to Father Blackwood. I've been a fan of this show. I thought the third season was a step down, but I gotta tell you guys, from me, I thought this fourth season ranks among some of the worst genre television I've seen in the last few years.
It reminded me a little bit of a gaming session, like a live play, where not everybody shows up. So they're like, well, why these guys are having an epic adventure, your character is doing some stuff at her house.
When the end of the world is happening and people are like, should we still be dating?
That's when you talk about it, though, when you have leverage,
I guess.
Guys,
I really liked Lilith Gomez's character. I think that was a really great part of the first two seasons. And I didn't really care for the third one as much. I think it really was kind of all over the place. But I loved this. I mean, in the era of being able to sit down and just watch stuff, the first four episodes straight are Monster of the Week. It is still the best shot soap opera. That stuff is kind of reduced to the back. It's team-ups. I like the mirrored set of characters because it propels the story without having to know this person's going to take a turn. We can just have two people turning at the same time and effectively have four ways that things can go. So I really dug that aspect of it. What I will say about the musical numbers is I thought they were pretty good, but I like them way more than the musical numbers. The band setting stuff works for me, but when we had straight up musical stuff, like the stuff in the forest, that stuff kind of lost me for the show.
I was torn on that when they did Purple Summer. It's like, well, you're swinging for the fences, Baz Luhrmann style, and I respect it, but what a weird choice.
There's a battle of the bands in hell, and they come out and do the time warp as loyal as you possibly can do it to the original, except for some reason they're in a band where everyone is the lead singer.
They could have cut to the last two bars.
I don't know if you guys take notes when you're carefully watching supernatural young adult dramas that you're not really the demographic for. But
ooh, burn.
She said that she was going to go to the Rocky Horror Picture Show with Melvin when she begrudgingly went on a date with him. And then they didn't show that scene. So I have this weird feeling that the reason there were one, two, three things at the Battle of the Bands is because they did the music for it, and then it didn't make it in there. And then just by sheer coincidence, they do the headlining song from the Rocky Horror Picture Show, coincidentally. That was clearly a production shuffle. I really liked the endless episodes with the super creepy Twilight Zone meta setting of the world that was all stages.
Let me go off on that for a second, because I think it was the best episode of the season, but it started with the worst idea. And what I mean by that is the two Sabrinas, they're like, okay, so let's fix this problem because it's creating, I don't know, universes crashing into each other or some shit, realities. So like a one has to go. So like, okay, we'll put her through a magic mirror and she comes out the other end. And at the end of the episode is, wow, now she's in the original Sabrina, the Teenage Witch television show, complete with the original actresses who played the aunties and a laugh track, which I loved had her even going. Like, she can hear the laugh track. Like, what is happening? I was like, that was the way to end the arc for the second Sabrina. That was hysterical. Loved that. But then they go, well, let's do the whole episode and follow a whole story of what happens during that world, which I was like, oh, no. It did, in fact, end up being the best episode, regardless, even though it's a take on Supernatural season 6 classic episode, The French Mistake, where they're thrown into our world and become the actors who play them on a show Supernatural exists. Only here, it's revealed as a weird little pocket universe run by the most adorable Eldritch Terror, the puppet Sabrina's cat, Salem, which I never watched the original show. I assume he was a puppet on the original show sometimes.
Speaking of harped upon plot holes, he gets out of the mirror universe with her, and then I think Prudence is just carrying the cat later as a captured horror. He's walking and talking when they dive through the mirror together, and then I guess he just surrendered.
I assume that when he got back to our world, he just no longer was animated? Yeah. I don't know.
It could have used one line of dialogue.
Are you guys done? Nitpicky. Wah, wah, wah. All I hear is complaining about a show.
That's because it's
that
terrible.
We knew what we were getting. This is Buffy for their generation. I like the corniness. I guess I went in with expectations of I'm watching, you know, a CW show, but with better like production, because they're teenagers, they're annoying. The Romeo and Juliet reference was like, oh my god, come on guys. But I don't know. I still cried in the end because I started bonding with Sabrina. I like how her arc really came all together. Like, there's a lot of plot holes here that I'm not going to get into, especially like how Sabrina became two to begin with. However, I like Sabrina's character arc. I like the fact that she did end up sacrificing herself. HBO has made me numb, and I don't really get attached to my favorite characters anymore because they all end up dying. But when this happened, I felt like it was time. And even in the post-credits, I kind of like there were the three paintings and she was sitting in the middle. Philosophically, it made me feel like I wouldn't know which one I wanted to go into if I was in her situation. I don't know, I just connected with her a lot, and I didn't expect to. So I was like, well, I guess that's good writing. Like, apart from all the things I didn't like about this last season, to be honest, I don't want them to continue this. Like, this needs to be done. I don't want any questions answered, because I feel like the more you guys try to clean this up, the more you're going to write yourself into a hole, because there was a lot of decisions these characters made that just made absolutely no sense. At some point, I just had to, like, go with it. Like, this is one of those shows where you got to be like, F it. I'm just here for the ride.
I mean, I hear what you're saying. It's a Buffy show, like so many shows since have been. It's a Monster of the Week, Monster Hunter, in a sense, show. It's definitely aimed at a teen to 20-something audience, as all of those shows always are, but there's always been a much bigger fan base for it than just that. But I don't think that's a reason alone to say, oh, you can just do a bunch of bad writing and like just put your dick in the dirt. It was a really strong first two seasons where I was like expecting this to be garbage. And I was like, wow, this is a surprisingly good show with really high production values, some great actors in it. I had a lot of fun with it. And it just, since season three has been going downhill, season four for me, I think is just awful. It's obviously rushed as fuck. Mm. The thing with like, oh, there's always been who will Sabrina end up with? And the show just does you could literally hear like a record scratching sound is like, we're just gonna hook her up back with one of her ex-boyfriends. Why? Don't worry about it. We need someone to be there in the final episode with her. And then the final episode, look, you don't get to have your main character die unfixably if it wasn't a redemption arc. And Sabrina has no need for a redemption arc. She's been a good person all along. It's insane to kill off your main character to punish your main character. And then when someone inevitably pointed out, well, this is what we're doing, like, don't worry, we'll have her end up with her boyfriend, who the show says killed himself to be with her. Netflix, what the fuck?
I don't think she's dead. I don't think that scene that Nick is the actual Nick. I think where she is at, she can like whatever she wants to think up. This sounds like a fantasy you enter when like you pretty much can't handle the reality of like you just died. So of course, who is she gonna think about? Who is the person that she's always been on but always been rejected by? What bigger sacrifice can he make other than taking his life just to be with her?
First off, that's a fan theory, and that's fine. You're allowed to have fan theories. But it is, because on the paper, what we saw is she died and he killed himself so he could be with her. That's what the show says happened.
I will also say, for a show that is big on magnanimous dialogue, that threw myself in the sea of sorrows isn't necessarily I killed myself. But one thing I will say, as much as I love her character, the reason I really dug the end, that isn't there still two of her, so why is that only one of her? And if it's that one, it's the hell one, because that's Nick. But outside of that, she absolutely deserves this kind of ending. Because not only was she not supposed to separate herself, but then when they figured it out and they told him to stay away, she still didn't do that shit. You can say that, you know, she's lighthearted and she doesn't have malice in her heart, but the entire series is them telling her not to
and
do
shit.
And
she does it anyway.
And she just keeps raising the stakes up until, like, reality smashing. No, I'm going to do this shit anyway.
That's the point, is that she's a teenager the whole time and she's constantly making mistakes and then going, oh, this is why ever all the adults told me not to do this and it was a mistake, and learning from it. But your message here at the end is like, oh, well, this happened again, except this time we murdered her for it.
Well, otherwise you're like, you don't have to ever do the right thing and you get away with it. I like this ending better.
I think you highlighted something, Robert, that I think is really functional about the show. She makes young person decisions on a level that is not quite annoying, but plausible. Her sort of mercurial nature always is dialed in really well.
Yeah.
She's not like a madcap manic pixie, but she's also not an adult.
Yeah. They didn't make her unlikable.
Who I empathize with watching it, because I am the Uncle Fingerpaints that comes by once a year with the drum set and the loud presence and tries to be the cool uncle for a minute. I empathize a lot with Ambrose, who is just like accountable to both generations, you know?
I thought he was just going to go like, fuck this. I'm going to go study business. I'm going to New York City. This is ridiculous. Why am I even in this lame town?
Because he knew if he did that, everything would like collapse. I think that's my biggest gripe, is actually that Ambrose and Prudence romance that was forced upon us for no apparent reason. Because I was like, what happened to old boy? Like, I like the fact that he was high-key a little gay. Like, that was a little spice that I needed.
And then she's just like with Nick, like just on the whatever in this season.
And Nick was like, and that was my thing with Nick too. I was like, so you go to the deep ocean and do all these things that put you in danger, and then all of a sudden you're just like, I'm out, I'm gonna head out and like go with somebody else. That's where I guess my nitpick will lie, is just how they did the romances. There's a way to do cliche and they just fumbled. They could have left that whole romance arc of all the characters really out.
It was very relationship centric for the 20 episodes before this, with who and then. Poor Harvey just wants a girl that's not magic and is never gonna get it. That too. Oh, man. And then they kill his dad? Oh, my God.
Yeah. Harvey did not have a good time.
What I'd like to point out, like, I can't say that it's a plot hole, and I'm not sure the person needs defending, but man, Father Blackwood got a bad deal for his wish. You're going to wish to be emperor, and they make you the Hitler of one small mining town, and it ends at the city limits?
Okay, first off, you're a wizard, right? So you should know something about stuff that offers wishes.
Yeah, bad deals, monkey paws and stuff.
Is there any wish-giving device ever or plot device that doesn't come with a dark side to it?
Nothing the imp did for Father Blackwood was something that he couldn't just do by going on a murder spree with the powers he already had.
Him even being there was like a, well, we got to find something for this character to do. I mean, he really isn't doing anything except going, hey, I'm the hospitality guy for Earth for the Eldritch guys. Come on in. You need a soda?
I do want to see like a spinoff web series where just Father Blackwood and Lucifer just like call a UFC or something.
All right. Well, we got to go to final thoughts. We're running low on time. Matt, keep going to your final thoughts.
I'm a born nitpicker. But on the whole, I actually like this fine. I really liked the Endless episode and the cameo from the old Sabrina cast. I thought that was really creepy and disquieting, actually. And while I did agree that it kind of vamped off the Supernatural episode, Supernatural didn't own that trope either. They took it in a really weird, spooky direction instead of a funny direction. That episode alone was pretty redemptive. During the Void episode, I actually thought I'd maybe accidentally queued up Doom Patrol, which is a compliment, really. Because Doom Patrol's cool. The valleys were low, but the peaks were high. So all in all, I give the season a par. If you like the rest of it, I mean, watch it. You know, what are you going to do? Opt out at this point. I'm going to give it 7.5 tins of mystery cat food.
Jenna?
I think I bonded with these characters a little too much and took it very personal. I mean, you're with them for so long. You've grown with these characters. You've seen all they've been through. That is kind of the only emotional stake I had in this show was because I've rode with y'all this long. So I might as well sit here and see it till the end. If it is the end, I just don't think it is. I think this show has proven that anything that happens on the show can be reversed. So, you know, I take it with a grain of salt, whatever they show me, their final endings. I liked it. I really, really did. I thought I would hate this show. It's typically a show that I don't watch, and I ended up loving it, even in all its flaws. And it's not, I'm not going to sit here and say it's the greatest written show ever. I'm not going to do all that. I'm not going to hype it up. But it's one of those things where it's like, it's my favorite. It's not good, but it's my favorite. And I think a lot of people are going to feel this way. I think this show is going to pick up. And I think all the fan theory is going to be really fun. Like, this is one of those shows where they really could have done it better. But the fact that Netflix kind of shafted them, I think this was that kind of like their FU to Netflix. So I can't be mad at them. I will give this, 7 out of 10 times. I wished that Hilda got the appreciation she deserved. Because Hilda was my favorite character. She is literally my favorite character on that show.
What did I tell you about wishing, Jenna? Have you learned nothing?
Oh, man, you're right.
Nashi, you're going to wake up and she'll be in your house and you can't get rid of her. And she slowly becomes more and more manic and crazy.
No.
And you're like, what did you do with my homework? Oh, it was just laying around. I set it on fire. Bob, what are your final thoughts?
The two things that stuck out to me that I didn't like. One is that episode 7 is great and I'm a huge fourth wall breaking fan. And 2 out of those 3 cameos were great, but that wasn't the OG Sabrina Salem voice. And that kind of bugged me as somebody who watched the show way back.
I think they died. Did they not? I thought they did.
I don't believe so. Oh, if they did, then my bad.
I could be wrong. I thought that was the reason why.
The only thing that bothered me about the show is the Trinket Man. I think it was a little writer's relief that popped into the show twice in the last season that, you know, oh, do you need a magic thing to fix the thing? I could have done without that. But the stuff I like I said, I wasn't a real big fan of season 3, but this episode, especially visually, episode 3 is the yellow bedroom episode, but not only is that episode yellow, but episode 7, I think, is mostly green. The last one's mostly blue. The one thing that I really dug, and the reason I get a higher rating for me, is in episode 4 and 5, we get the bizarro world Greendale fascism take on what's going on. And then in episode 5, we get the breakup into the mortal, infernal, and celestial realms. all very comic booky things that I like, even if they were for one-off episodes. We got some Nephilimicide. We got a shot at killing Lucifer. We got wormholes. Like, there was enough in here that I didn't expect, that things that didn't hold up for me didn't get in the way of me enjoying it. I thought the finale was better than several horror movies I saw this year that had a great dark ending and perhaps protracted, but it's a TV show, so we're going to draw out the ending. But I will give this 8 out of 8 white headbands that Sabrina is wearing at the end, seeing as how the other two wore red and black ones. So, like I said, I think the ending's ambiguous, and I think it worked. I had a great time.
Man, I gotta say, I'm surprised you guys all liked this as much as you did. And this is somebody who was previously considered themselves a big fan of the show, really at points kind of hated it. I thought it was super lazy. It reeked, and I've been assured it is the case, that they basically were, oh, fuck, it's ending? Okay, what did we have with all the writer's notes we've had of stuff we want to do in the future on the show? Let's just throw it all in there. Well, how's that going to work? I don't know. We'll just use some old-fashioned devices like the Trinket Man to tie it together that are just cheap television devices. And the ending is, I thought, was outright offensive. I was like, come on, really? You're going to punish the viewers? Like, oh, well, we made them cry. People like shows that make them cry. Yeah, but what? I'm sorry. It was as lazy an ending as the lumberjack ending of Dexter. I really disliked it quite a bit. I'll give full points to the Endless episode, which at first I was like, great, you're going to rip off Supernatural now. I knew it would happen eventually. But then they do, in fact, do something different with it that was fun to watch, and there were some good meta elements. I mean, I did think it was kind of creepy, Matt, but I also thought it was, in fact, pretty funny, too. There's a whole thing with one of the characters who appears as sort of a guy who works on sets, and has this whole speech about, like, well, I was an actor, but then, you know, it was always about taking my shirt off. Like, oh, now I get to take my shirt off when I want to take my shirt off. Which I kind of appreciate. It was a bit of a turnaround.
The guy that plays Caliban is underappreciated, because to be that kind of a straight half of an act like that,
yeah,
is underrated comedic performance. But
I felt so many people got a short shrift in this season. I thought the character arcs all got a short shrift. There's a lot of just embarrassed fumbling about by the actors trying to find something meaningful to do with what they've been handed. And it's hard to find anything because there just isn't. I thought this was total weak sauce, with the exception of the ideas of the Endless themselves, which are, or not the Endless themselves, but of the Eldritches themselves. They're actually kind of cool ideas, and they do some fun stuff with them. But everything to do with these characters we've had the whole time, I kind of hated. So I'm going to give this 3 out of 10 puppet cats that look like they're old and kind of smell a bit.
No, I feel, you know what? Yeah, I think this ending is going to piss me off if they don't reboot it somehow and give us the Sabrina series, or at least that season that we deserved. I guess I'm just numb. Like, after Sons of Anarchy and Walking Dead, I've seen worse endings where I was just like, why did you do that? It is like they kind of just stop caring. It's really kind of sad. I hope they do some type of spinoff where we get what we really deserve, because we really supported that show.
What I thought is that a lot of the stuff that Robert said that he liked, to me, had the problem of, so all the stuff like Lilith taking over for Satan and all, that was stuff that I thought was great setup for the season they're not going to do.
For sure.
And it really smacked if they weren't told it was ending in time.
Yes.
Or they would have eliminated it for economy.
And stuff like the angels being introduced in this season, and you're like, that's all you're going to, okay, they're out. Okay, there were the angels. Thank you, everyone. The angels. Yeah. Thank you. That was great. Anyway, let's move on.
Dang, yeah.